How do you explain that, considering what the comparative cost of mapping is compared to recycling launches and some of the other mission costs that are involved, why couldn't you just as easily have picked a pinpoint target in Site 5 of some scientific value and done and accepted your same challenge of a pinpoint landing at another place on the moon?
Have done that if we had so chosen to do so. Now, what really happened was that as we came in on Apollo Site 7 and we discussed this with the scientific community, that's where we all, from many different points of view, decided to go. When we did that, the map services went away and did a Trojan job in building this lunar terrain map. And that map has been very important to the training of the crew in recognizing landmarks as they approach the site. Now, you say truth, and you are correct, that we have had maps of that particular area, but not the maps in which the format in which the crew used them for training purposes. So we had to choose. We have only so much resources in the mapping area, and believe me, we've been working those people greatly in a great amount of overtime in order to come up with the information we had to have to go to Site 7. Even now, we will not be able to come up between now and December with a terrain map. We will do the best we can with just looking at maps and trying to pick out landmarks. But it is very important to this pinpoint landing technique to have known landmarks as you approach the landing site from Highgate down.
Okay, the Cape wants it back now.
Well, I think we can answer this whole question with one sentence, essentially. It's a function of the timing on the damn thing. And it's like using a backup crew. If we lost the prime crew today, we obviously could not launch tomorrow. We probably couldn't launch next week either. On the other hand, if we had about 3 weeks lead time, we could. And it's exactly the same thing with the site business. It happened that we had to make this decision 2 days before launch, and we aren't that flexible to make that kind of a decision at that point. If we'd had to make it 10 days ago, I think we could have gone to Site 5 on the 16th. It's about that simple.
Go ahead.
Has there been any change at all in whether there will be some sort of ceremony on the lunar surface, a talk with Mr. Nixon or Mr. Agnew or anything at all?
I thought answer that, I think.
It's been suggested that Mr. Patron answer that question.
Let's see if I have the mic here. They've been cutting us off to Houston. The items we now have planned, and I'll stress the word now, in terms of any ceremonial activities, include the planting of the United States flag. It's the only item now, positively, in the timeline for the astronauts on the lunar surface that I could classify as ceremonial.
At the risk of belaboring the point a bit, perhaps Chris could answer this. What precautions are you taking so that you don't get boxed in to this timeline bit on Apollo 13 as regards to alternate landing sites?
Rocco explained what our plan is on Apollo 13. The first thing we've got to do about Apollo 13 is look at the information that we gained from Apollo 12, both from the standpoint of how well we were able to do in landing at a given point on the moon, and secondly, the photographs that we hope that they get, or at least an evaluation of the sun angle on Frau Mara, which they can also do on this flight, because there's some question in the minds of the people who have been, the crew that has been training, as to whether the sun angles are proper for the March launch in going into Frau Mara. So those are the first two things we're going to do. Assuming from that we make the decision to go to Frau Mara in March with those provisos, we will use Frau Mara as the site to go to in March, and we'll only go to Frau Mara in March. We will and then switch to April if we were to not make it or to scrub, and go to Frau Mara as the prime site first, and then to the so-called Site 6R on the lunar surface, which hopefully between now and then we can build some terrain maps so that the pilots could train to go to both sites. Now, whether we can do that in time still remains to be seen, because we again have given map services people a great deal of work to do because, frankly, we have not made up our mind to go to Frau Mara yet, and we may want to go to someplace else on Apollo 13, and we've got to work on all of those facets of the thing up until we make the decision after Apollo 12.
Any more questions in Houston? Let's take one more, then go back to the Cape. They're on the back row.
In the background information, you said that the astronauts are taking 136 national flags. Now, there are only 126 UN member states. Could you identify the 10 other countries that you're taking along?
We have a list.
I can't answer that. Maybe somebody at the Cape can.
We don't have the numbers right here. Dick, do you want to comment?
I got the number. He's right. It's 136 plus a UN, but I can't quote them all off the top of my head. However, I guess we can make that list available.
We'll be glad to make it available in the news center. We'll take a look at the list, and we'll have it available for you. Okay, we're back at the Cape. We've got about 10 minutes or so remaining. Mr. Elman, right here.
This might be a naive question, but does this mean that the countdown has started 14 minutes ago? That it's now 16:46, 52.
We can't see the clock. If it's counting, that should be true. We'll have word for you.
The posture we were in at the time we came to this press conference was that we were hoping to open the pad again after the spacecraft cryo operation by 2:30. So at the time I came here, we weren't certain we were going to be able to make that or not. So I don't know whether this clock is synced over there or not. It's possible that we may have picked it up since we came here.
We'll try to check that for you before we finish. Right here.
I have one question. It might be on a little bit of a lighter side, but what happened to Bean's pizza menu going to the moon?
I didn't hear that. Yeah, let's try that one again.
I repeat, what happened to Bean's pizza menu going to the moon? Has that been scratched too?
I'm not familiar with it. I don't know whether you've got an inside joke going or what. Can you elaborate on it a little bit, or do you know anything about it, Dick?
I don't know anything about it.
All I have to know is that it came from a fairly well-informed source at one of the pizza places here in town that he frequented quite frequently. They'd given him a menu to take to the moon. I just wondered if it was true or false.
Well, I don't know whether he worked for the place or not. I understand that he has been at a few places, and the astronauts until the final couple of weeks, of course, when they are at their crew quarters, do eat like all the rest of us, and I guess they go to different places. If you want a plug, maybe we can work a little later on. Over here.
The change in countdown conditions now, with the unknown time period remaining in the nine-hour hold, does this change the physical preparation of the launch pad? That is, do you roll the MSS back at any different time, or do these functions continue on the timeline that you now have? And the second part, will we have available to us an adjusted time schedule of events before launch any time today?
Well, could I just handle that last part? This afternoon in our status report, we will try to give you on what's available at that time, the timeline that is available going through the rest of the night and the early morning hours.
Well, we're going to play the countdown between now and T-minus 9 hours in real time, of course. And as soon as we get to the posture that we can move the mobile service structure back, we will. And if we had picked up the count at 2:30, we may have picked it up a little early. We would have been in a posture by picking up at 2:30 to have a 3-hour and 22-minute hold at approximately a 3-hour hold at the T-minus 9-hour point. And we intend to move functionally and move the mobile service structure back before T-minus 9 hours if we can. We're playing that in real time. Now, I'm not sure I know what you're referring to from the standpoint of what we do from T-minus 9 hours down to T-zero. Our schedule is identical with what we've been planning all along.
I'd like to ask Mr. Petrone, in view of the some of the key resignations that you've had in the space agency, what steps have you taken to avoid what I suppose to be the natural reaction and complacency since the Apollo 11 landing?
I think some of the movements of the people like General Phillips and George Hage and all, had been known before Apollo 11. We knew that was going to come about, so I don't classify those as resignations after 11. We knew they were going to return to their prior place of employment in the case of General Phillips going to back to the Air Force. I think the resignations or the moves of people are, I consider, in the normal course of evolution of management, the program is going into a different phase. The large development phase is over. We still have a fair amount of development ahead of us as we develop packages and extend the life of the limb on the moon, the things we have underway. So I personally have to say the resignations or the movements of people within the program that have taken place with 11, I believe will have no effect on what we're carrying out in the sense of the new exploration phase ahead of us. Certainly the big milestone, of course, was getting all the hardware up to the point of making the landing, knowing that we proved our system. So I'm sure we'll see movements of people continuing in the program as we go into new starts like the space station and the shuttle and things of that nature. So I have to classify that as, although it happened at one time, because 11 was a milestone, sort of a normal type movement in a program of this size. Well, the question of complacency or lethargy, I think one always has to worry about that, but believe me, I think we worried about it long before 11, you know, starting with Apollo 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. Each one of these missions went off like textbook missions, but there was an awful lot to keep that textbook in line. I think the people in the program, and I say this from both direct questioning and observation, I don't think any of us in it associated with the Apollo hardware and with the flight crews and all are in any way relaxing or being complacent. I feel the morale is high, the dedication of the people is as high as ever, and I always want to caution that by saying we are in very, very demanding business where the simplest of mistakes can end up in catastrophe, and that's really the name of the game we're in and we're dedicated to. But I'd say the word lethargy or relaxation just does not apply. We don't find that in the people working with the hardware, knowing what it is and knowing how easy it is for that hardware to malfunction if mistreated.
Back up here.
Is it likely that Neil Armstrong will make another flight?
I haven't had a chance to talk to Neil in the last 6 weeks, and our plan was to discuss his future when he got back off this tour, which we haven't done yet. So I can't answer that today.
Any further questions? Back up there.
In a similar vein, what is Mike Collins doing, or what is he going to be doing shortly? Does he have a new assignment yet?
We have not given the Apollo 11 crew any additional assignments since their mission. As I said earlier, they've been on about a month tour. They just got back from it, and we just haven't had a chance to sit down and even talk to them since.
Right. To Dr. Barry, are you in agreement with this Dubridge report out of the White House this morning that man isn't ready to try any prolonged space flights? Prolonged is the key word.
I wouldn't be sitting here if I were, I guess, Rand, but I have not had a chance to read the PSAC report that just came out today, and I think that we have a very sensible program laid out for extending the roughly 5,100 man hours of spaceflight experience that we have at the present time in sensible increments, making responsible measurements on what is occurring. And certainly you can't project from 14 days of experience and say, well, obviously there are going to be no difficulties at all with exposing man for a period of 2 years or something, which would be for a Mars mission. But I tend to be very optimistic in this regard, and I personally think that we're going to find that man is perfectly capable of doing that. I think that we do have to build the information fund so that we have the data that are necessary to say that it's perfectly all right for that long period of time. I don't think we have all that information now, obviously, but I think we have the information we need for the flight durations we're doing now, and we have a program to extend it.
We have one over here.
Just continuing that, Dr. Barry, 2 missions ago you said that you had 100% record of post-flight illness. Is that record still standing?
No, sir. It is not. We've had a completely different experience with Apollo 10 and 11, and it's been a very very gratifying turn of events. We did have difficulty with pre-flight, in-flight, and post-flight illness on 7, 8, and 9, and we have not had any of these. I won't say that we haven't had some post-flight illnesses, but we're talking about the immediate post-flight period. I mean, obviously, there's people when they return from a flight are subject to the same ills on the ground that anyone else is, and as we did in the 11 crew, they had some difficulties when they were on this trip, which are the type of things you would expect from people who were being in the community.
Final question back up here.
For Dr. Berry or anyone else who cares to comment, we received a release last week, I guess, about the biological isolation garments being scrapped. Is this an increasing trend? Is this the beginning of a trend towards knocking off the MQF and the isolation and the quarantine? Is this an admission that maybe we've been too cautious, it hasn't really been necessary?
Well, I don't know that it's, I don't think it's any admission of being too cautious. We feel that the removal of the biological isolation garments was a change in the quarantine, which was necessary from a safety viewpoint, because we felt that from our experience with 11 and from the experience with the 12 crew and their training in the Gulf, these garments fogged very badly. The 11 crew were very hot in these garments, and coming back in the helicopter, and they had to stay in them for any increased period of time, they would undoubtedly have had to take the hood off. And therefore, we felt that this was a mandatory change if we were going to continue any activity in this area. That was one thing that had to be changed. And so we went to the interagency committee and convinced them of this change, and it was agreed to. Now, I think the plan is that as we gather the evidence, and we hope that that we'll be able to bring all that evidence to bear to the committee. We presented the evidence after 11, we're in a posture that the changes that they agreed to were only two for this flight, and that one was the deletion of the bigs, and the other was the processing of the film. And so we hope that we will then look at the data from 12 and be able to again discuss this with the committee and with the Academy of Sciences and come to some conclusions about 13. Before winding up, I think the mission director, Chet Lee, has some further information for us, and also Walt Cavley and Chet.
Earlier question on a window. With the new increased launch azimuth, 106 degrees, it'll close at about 3:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That may be off a couple of minutes, but 3:50 Eastern Standard Time, 3:50 p.m.
Thank you. Mr. Caprian?
Okay, just to update the status, we did pick up the count at T-minus 17 hours on the dot at 2 o'clock, so our present plans are to count down to T-minus 9 hours, be at that point at 2200 hours, 10 o'clock tonight. We will hold for 3 hours and 22 minutes at that time, then pick up the count at 9 hours at 1:22 in the morning, count down to T-minus 3 hours, 30 minutes, hold for 1 hour at that point, and then count to T-zero.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We'll be followed by the Apollo 12 experiment is briefing. That's scheduled to start in about 10 minutes. As I mentioned, the news center will be open 24 hours, and we'll do our best to keep up with the activities at the launch pad to keep you informed throughout the night.